Venerable religious, dear parishioners, I would like to speak to you today about St. John the Baptist. And he is, of course, one of the more familiar saints in the Catholic Church. And we know that he was called to be the precursor of our Lord, to be the one to prepare the way of the Lord. He has two feast days in the church calendar. His birthday, which is very rare. We don't celebrate any saints' birthdays except for St. John the Baptist and Our Lady and our Lord. And we celebrate the birthday of St. John the Baptist on June 24th because he was born already having been cleansed from original sin. See, that's why we can celebrate his birthday. And of course, Our Lady was conceived without sin. She never had sin on her soul, so we celebrate her birthday on September 8th every year. And of course, on Tuesday, we'll be celebrating the birthday of Jesus. He who is, of course, without any sin whatsoever, he's Almighty God himself. And of course, let's be more concerned about the gift that we give Jesus on Christmas than any gifts that we may receive. It's his birthday, not ours. I know some Catholic parents delay or giving all the presents to their children, or maybe parcel it out a little bit more so that children can think more about the gift that they bring to Jesus when they come to Mass. And of course, our gift to Jesus will be our Christmas communion and also the sacrifices that we offered up during Advent and our progress in virtue. That's our gift to Jesus. And of course, the works of charity that we do for others for the love of him. But to return to St. John the Baptist, this marvelous man. As I said, he was born without original sin. He was conceived with original sin like everybody else. But when Mary came, after she became pregnant with Jesus, when Mary came to her cousin, St. Elizabeth, to help her, she did so because her cousin was pregnant with St. John. And we all know that passage from Scripture very well. It's earlier in St. Luke. St. Elizabeth says when Mary comes to her, "How is it that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For as soon as the sound of thy greeting was heard, the babe in my womb leapt for joy." That was a miracle. The little baby in her womb, John, could sense the coming of the Savior of the world who was in his mother's womb, in Mary's womb. And all of the fathers and doctors of the church tell us it was at that moment that he was washed from original sin. That proximity, the purpose of Jesus and Mary coming is what baptized him in the womb, took away that state of rebellion, which we know the sin of Adam is in all of us. It needs to be washed away. It's washed away in baptism. So that was his baptism. Again, why we celebrate his birthday. He was born without sin. I remember seeing a beautiful painting. I'm sure it was done in the Renaissance era. I can't remember the name of it or where it's located, but it's a beautiful painting. It shows John the Baptist and Jesus playing together as little boys. And both of their mothers are there. Mary is there, St. Elizabeth is there. A very charming picture. And it may take us aback for a moment. The Savior of the world playing? But then St. Paul tells us he was like us in all things except for sin. That shows us how human Christ was. And as a little boy, yes, he played, as did little John. But both of those boys were destined to be martyrs. one to be the King of Martyrs himself, who would redeem us on the cross. And little John would die a martyr because he would preach the truth. He was going to suffer for the truth. And in particular, he was going to be put to death because of the sanctity of marriage. He rebuked Herod for living in adultery. And for that, it cost him his life. But he had already been in prison because Herod did not like his preaching. And so we get an idea as we read the gospel, what a strong figure this boy John would become. When he grew up, he went out to the desert to live. And he thrived off of, or lived off of, I don't know, thrive is the word, but lived off of locusts and wild honey. He wore an itchy camel skin to do penance and to subdue the flesh. And then the word of the Lord inspired him. Go and start preaching. And this was when he and Jesus were about 30 years of age. And he began to preach repentance. What did he preach to the people? Start beating your breasts. Start telling God you're sorry for your sins. Because if they didn't do that, you see, they would never grasp the message of Jesus. And that's the same for us. If we do not beat our breasts, if we do not repent, if we do not humble ourselves and do penance, my dear brethren, we'll never really understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. So St. John continues, you might say, to prepare the way. He continues to dispose us to understand the message of Christ. And it starts with us getting on our knees, repenting, admitting what sinners we are. You know, today's gospel is in chapter 3 of St. Luke is actually doesn't really have anything to do with the Christmas message per se, because this is already when John is 30 years of age, Jesus is 30 years of age, approximately. But the church wants us to understand the message. As we prepare for the nativity of Christ, we need to hear what John was preaching to the people. And that's our preparation for Christmas. That's what will certainly help us to be prepared for this great feast. You know, as I read this third chapter of St. Luke, I see parallels to our own time. And I'll explain that in a minute. But notice how St. Luke makes it a point to tell what all the political rulers were at the time. He wanted us to understand what the political situation was, who was in charge of what. And what that spoke to everybody was the realization that the fullness of time was here. The Roman authority had taken over. The Jews were no longer self-ruling. It was time for the Savior to come. And these rulers that we read here, Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate, Herod, Philip, Lysanias, these were not men of good virtue, to say the least. It reminds me of what our political situation is. How many of our political leaders are examples of virtue? Rather, we see corruption in politics so often. And we see greater encroaching of political upon moral issues. The political power destroying the order that God has set up when it comes to respecting life, for example. We have legalized abortion. We now have legalized unnatural marriage in our state. It's the political power saying, we don't answer to God. We can make whatever laws we want. Annas and Caiaphas, what about them? They were political appointees. The true priesthood had been lost. They were no longer descendants from the Aaronic line, in other words, from the high priest Aaron. Now they were political appointees. They were beholden to the Romans. They got along with the Romans. Instead of being true leaders in the religious sphere, they were just there to get along with the Romans. And so we see in more bold contrast, John preaching the real message, the message that the high priest should have been preaching but weren't: repent, be baptized. Now, what John was doing was not giving them the sacrament of penance. That would have to be instituted by Jesus Christ himself. But still, people were coming down to the River Jordan. He was pouring water on their heads. And this was very symbolic of the interior cleansing that was going on in their hearts and their minds, which is why, of course, we should all make a worthy confession before Christmas. It would be very much in keeping with the message of John the Baptist to cleanse ourselves. So, as I said, he was the voice crying in the desert. And what was he saying? What was he fulfilling? He was fulfilling this prophecy of Isaiah: make ready the way of the Lord, make straight his paths, every valley shall be filled. In other words, whatever spiritual deficits there were in people's lives, he was filling them, teaching them how to fill it with good works. Make straight his paths. Every mountain and hill shall be brought low. The fathers and doctors say whenever somebody humbles himself, he brings his pride down. And that's bringing the valley and the mountain down that has to be brought down. The crooked way is made straight. Sin is always crookedness in our lives. It's roughness. But when we repent truly of sin and make that change in our lives away from sin, we are straightening out the path. We're smoothing the way. So we can see how powerful this message of St. John the Baptist is. Just as he was preaching it 2,000 years ago, a little less than that actually, the same message has to be preached again, over and over and over again. Because isn't this really what the gospel is all about? How to become pleasing to God, to make happen in our lives what Isaiah said some 500 years before St. John the Baptist appeared. So, as I said, even though this is chronologically out of order, it's happening 30 years after the birth of our Lord and the birth of St. John, still the message is so relevant and so powerful. I was thinking, insofar as parallels to our time, who is it that St. John the Baptist today? Spiritually speaking, that's a role that bishops and priests and religious, I think, have to fulfill by living their vocation. But I think in a broader way, as traditional Catholics, you are like St. John the Baptist. Because we're standing up as a very small minority. Just as John was a minority, and yet he preached the truth, by preaching the traditional Catholic faith, by our daily living of it, and by our example, we are like St. John the Baptist. I'm saying all of us. There's many a temptation to join the majority. Why be in such a small number of people? Why can't you just get along? Why don't you take the easier way? But did John the Baptist take the easier way? As our Lord was praising St. John the Baptist, I think it was in just last Sunday's gospel, or rather, excuse me, the the second Sunday of Advent, Jesus began to say to the crowds concerning John, "What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed shaken by the wind? A man clothed in soft garments?" Is that the picture of somebody who wants to just get along and take it easy? Not at all. My dear brethren, the truth is the harder way. But as Jesus also taught his disciples in one of the earlier chapters of St. John's Gospel, he said, "The truth shall set you free." So let us be like St. John the Baptist, not afraid to take the harder way, to be faithful to the traditional teachings of the Catholic Church, which do not change with the times. The Catholic Church has always been consistent throughout her history, not giving us new doctrines, but faithfully transmitting to us what Jesus taught us. And if we feel alone, that's all right. After all, St. John the Baptist felt pretty alone at times, but he knew what the truth was, and he was faithful to it to death. He fulfilled his mission. He preached the truth. Let us not be afraid of that. There's a mission for us to fulfill. I see the vocation of St. John the Baptist showing itself so powerfully. That was what he was born to do. He came to prepare the way for Christ, and he fulfilled it. We too have a mission in life, each one of us. Whatever that is, be faithful to it, be strong in it, and be inspired by the example of St. John the Baptist. He is one of the great inspirations during the Holy Advent season, and he is helping us to prepare the way for the coming of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.